Well, let's get a little bit deeper into some of these stories affecting our community on this Thursday afternoon. We start with an update on the high-profile murder case happening locally. The deaths of teenagers Lyric Woods and Devin Clark in northern Orange County last month shocked the community. Many people are still waiting for answers and details to emerge, with that information expected to be shared shortly, according to the Orange County District Attorney's Office. Prosecutors confirmed on Wednesday that they will seek to move the murder case of a charged juvenile suspect to Superior Court, which would effectively allow information on the suspect to become public. The Orange County Sheriff's Office arrested a 17-year-old, meaning the suspect cannot initially be charged as an adult due to state laws. Murder charges, however, are severe enough to where a suspect's case can be referred from juvenile court to Superior Court. Orange County Assistant District Attorney Jeff Neiman told 97.9 The Hill that the office will do that.
We have decided to seek transfer of this case to adult Superior Court. This case is still under the jurisdiction currently of juvenile court, and so we are very limited in terms of the amount of information we are allowed to release to the public while it is under the jurisdiction of juvenile court. However, understanding that the public has a desire and a right to know about a case of this amount of public interest, we wanted to announce our intention to transfer this case to adult Superior Court, and that the timeline for that, based upon the procedures for juvenile transfer, will mean that it will be a minimum of 15 more calendar days before that can be effectuated, but that is our intention to do that. I would hope to reassure listeners that just because we are not able to disseminate very much information on this and currently the proceedings are all closed, that doesn't mean that things aren't happening. And I just want to give my assurance that despite the fact that information is limited, that we are moving apace in moving this case forward.
Jeff Neiman with the Orange County District Attorney's Office speaking there. You can learn more about that case and hear other comments from him by heading to chapelboro.com. Today is the first day of early voting down in Chatham County. The News and Record is hosting the first of two candidate forums for local candidates. Tonight's forum is at 6 o'clock at the Chatham Agricultural and Conference Center. As of 2 days ago, the county GOP has declared that their candidates will not participate due to a conflict about who can record the event. We'll see if any of those GOP candidates show up tonight, and then we'll have the other forum next week. That one's on Wednesday, and it will be at the Central Carolina Community College campus in Pittsboro. Here at 97.9 The Hill and chapelboro.com, we're once again helping introduce candidates to our listeners and voters in the community. As part of our election coverage each year covering the local races, we record introductions with candidates about their qualifications, policies, and goals for the districts. We begin with the general election for North Carolina House District 50, covering the non-Chapel Hill and Carrboro portions of Orange County and all of Caswell County. The district is open after Greg Meyer announced his candidacy for the state Senate. You'll hear from the two candidates running, first Charles Lopez and then Renee Price.
My name is Charles Lopez and I'm running for State House District 50. Formerly an educator with a degree in public administration from Florida International and a master's in management leadership. A small business entrepreneur. I've had small businesses and we sell them here and there. And just being part of the community, I've always loved serving. We have a public service heart. So all of that is just the opportunity to get back to my community with the skill sets I have. And just seeing the need for a business advocate and lenses from a former educator when we talk about education. And then family. I have adopted kids, so adoption is going to be one of the key issues I work on. So education for me is a big one. I've been a charter school board president. I've been educating the public school system. I currently homeschool. So school choice is a big, big deal. As a former educator, we know that every student learns differently. There's not one formula for every kid. So having that opportunity where the parents can select what works best for them, I think is a big deal. The second one, adoption, making that more affordable and more accessible. We have a lot of local kids here in our foster care system that need a loving home. And I've talked to future want-to-be parents that wish this program was more accessible and more affordable. They don't have 10 grand, 15 grand, 20 grand to dish out and just to be able to say, I have a loving home, have a kid come. Now, obviously, there's programs and measures that we want to take into consideration, safety analysis, all that. But we have a lot of kids in our foster care system right now. We have wannabe parents. We need to connect those dots, make that more affordable, more accessible. And the third one, Caswell. Caswell County is the fourth poorest counties in North Carolina. Being with them 2 weeks ago, they're scared that in 10 years from now, they might be a ghost community. Their population is currently aging out. The high school graduates are leaving and not returning. There's not a lot of businesses coming in. And they have a real fear that in 10 years from now, their community may be a ghost town. And they need a business advocate. They want a business advocate. Me being from the small business sector and negotiating business, that's one of the things I want to promote and advocate. The CAS was open for business. One of the main things I'm saying is the lackadaisical attitude about this election. Not a lot of people are interested in it. Not a lot of people are saying, I'm going to go out and vote. They're not on fire for anything. On both sides. I think it's just, it's midterm elections. You know, it is what it is. Or I'll think about it. So that lackadaisical attitude, for me, regardless of party, just says our democracy, in essence, right, like our republic can be swayed. You know, can be swayed by who has the most money or whatever, and not just informed voters. And I'm a big advocate for informed voters, regardless of party. I think, you know, just sit down, what do you believe, where does the candidate stand on, and voting on principle, not just on party. When voters see my name on the ballot, I don't want them to think that just because there's an R next to it, that I'm a mainstream R candidate. There's a lot more to me than just Republican. I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a former educator. I love sports, I love food, I like to socialize. But at the same time, I feel like there's certain points that we can agree to disagree on, like some of the social issues, but everybody is hurting in their wallet. And I want people to vote with their wallet in mind and not necessarily with the social issues in mind, because I believe we can compromise on those. We can agree to disagree and focus this year particularly on what our wallet is saying and is hurting.
My name is Renee Price, and I am running for North Carolina House District 50. For me, public service is a calling, and I saw the opportunity for me to put my hat in the ring after serving 10 years as a county commissioner and also 2 years as chair. That's given me a lot of experience and a lot of insight, and so I'm ready for the challenge. And I also see that the time has come for us to defend and protect our voting rights, our civil rights, women's rights, LGBTQ, human rights, and basically our constitutional rights. Well, one of the things that jumped out for me actually was the beauty of the people in my district. Of course, in Orange County, I've been here for 32 years now, and I've gotten to know people, but, you know, getting out and about even more so, seeing more of the people of Orange County, and then venturing into Caswell County and going all the way up to the Virginia border, and just seeing so many beautiful people, warm, friendly people going to the farmer's market, and just meeting people who seem to never have met a stranger, and it's been a very exciting time. Our community is so diverse, and everyone is going to have something else that's of value to them, and I want to be able to represent all people. But for me, some of the top priorities are, well, number one, the right to vote and the right to representation, because I really believe our democracy is at stake. And voting leads to so many other policy issues and programs and budget decisions. Another priority for me will be infrastructure, and that encompasses broadband, number one, because that really is going to level the playing field. It can level the playing field when it comes to education, business, health, you name it. We need broadband universally. Also within infrastructure, I consider safe, decent housing for everyone. We see gentrification happening everywhere. We see development, particularly taking over older communities, older neighborhoods. And I really think that we need to protect our housing stock and preserve some of our neighborhoods. And thirdly, within the framework of infrastructure is transportation, so that people can move about, get to school, get to work, and move goods and services, whether you're a big business or even small business or even a farmer. And then as another policy issue, is a sound basic education. I think every child has the right to a sound basic education. It's in the Constitution, and we need to provide that. I want voters to know that I really want to be a representative I want to listen to your concerns, hear your voices, and have us work together. There's no way I can do this work by myself. And I want people to know that I believe in that phrase, we the people, which is actually the tagline for my campaign, we the people, and that together we need to build and empower our communities and make sure that we have wonderful places for people to live, work, and play. When voters see my name on the ballot, I want them to think of someone who will rise up, speak out, and assure our freedoms and our democracy.
That was Renee Price, and before that, you heard Charles Lopez, our two candidates for North Carolina House District 50 in Orange and Caswell counties. If you'd like to review those candidates again before going out to vote early or before you cast your ballot on Election Day, head to our local elections webpage on chapelboro.com, where we have that race and candidates of other local races posted. Looking at sports now, we've got a big game going on tonight for women's soccer. They will be on the road against Florida State. UNC women's soccer ranked number 2 in the nation, Florida State ranked 4th. So a very big matchup. Kickoff is at 8 p.m. A win would move UNC into a tie for first place in the ACC. Over in women's basketball now, the preseason ACC poll and individual honors were announced yesterday. Tar Heels are picked 5th in the conference, which doesn't sound great, but they are ranked 13th in the nation. The top 5 teams in the ACC all ranked in the top 13 nationally. On the individual side of things, junior Deja Kelly was named preseason All-ACC. Also on the first ACC team preseason is fellow junior Alyssa Usby. She was also placed on the 20-player watch list for the Cheryl Miller Award for the nation's top small forward. Congratulations to her. Andrew here with you, and we've got some more news to get to. FilmFest 919 kicked off its full slate of screenings last night in Chapel Hill. The locally run festival is being held now through Sunday afternoon, offering a variety of films to critics and media, but also to casual movie lovers in our community. The opening film was Devotion, a Korean War drama about the first black aviator in the U.S. Navy. It's set to be widely released Thanksgiving weekend, but folks got a chance to see it early here at FilmFest 919. And director J.D. Dillard visited with me yesterday ahead of the screening last night and of earning the FilmFest 919 Horizon Award. He shared what drew him to the story and part of what makes him so proud of this film.
It's the perfect kind of film for me to take to festivals because it really is, you know, a piece for the audience. So much so, I mean, so excited to be releasing it on Thanksgiving. Why? Because it is the type of movie that, had I not been associated with it, I'd love to take my dad to go see, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner. But yeah, I mean, I think it's important and also really fun to be able to tell important stories with some scope. You know, I was never, ever looking for a true story. My brain defaults to, like, monsters, creatures, robots, you know, all things of the like. But when I sort of met the story of Tom and Jesse, it just so tied back to things that I've heard in my own house that I knew that if I was going to do a true story, this would be the one to do. And I love this movie so much. Cannot wait for everybody to see it. And I'll probably go make a movie about aliens and robots next.
That was J.D. Dillard, the director of the film Devotion, speaking. You can listen to that full conversation with 97.9 The Hill on chapelboro.com and catch additional screenings of Devotion. There's one tonight at the Lumina at 7:30. The co-founders of FilmFest 919, Randy Emmerman and Carol Marshall, spoke with 97.9 The Hill's Aaron Keck ahead of opening night. Check out their conversation on chapelboro.com as well. You can also head to chapelboro.com for more local news, including a story about an assault on an 82-year-old Home Depot employee up in Hillsborough.